Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. Many of you have heard the following story, but I'm going to share it with you again because I want to talk about it. A huge rainstorm had inundated this town and it was flooding horribly. And there was a guy. The floodwaters were getting higher and higher, and a rescue boat came and said, "Come on in, buddy, let's take you to safety." And he said, "Nope. God will take care of me." But the floodwaters kept rising. He had to move to the second floor. Looking out the window, here comes another rescue boat, and they say, "Hey, come on in. The water's getting pretty dangerous. We'll take you to safety." He says, "No, God will take care of me." Finally, he had to move up onto his roof, and the waters were coming closer, inching ever closer, and a helicopter flew in and said, "Buddy, it's your last chance. Hop on in. We'll take you to safety." He's like, "Nope. God is going to take care of me." And the man drowned. And he went up to heaven. And he confronted God and said, "God, I told everybody that you were going to take care of me. And in my greatest time of need, you just let me die." And God said, "I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more could I do?" I want you to think about this story, but in a new way today. What if this man wasn't a Christian? What if if we told the story of the two boats and the helicopter, we just left God out of it? What if he just told the two boats and the helicopter that he could take care of himself and left it at that? Or how about this? What if the man was never sent two boats and a helicopter? What if he just drowned and nobody cared enough about him to send anybody to rescue him? Today, I want to talk to you about our call as Christians to missions, about God's call to us to share the message of Jesus Christ to other people who do not know about his salvation. Many people in this world are going to die without knowing that they could have been saved by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. They believe they can take care of themselves. That is a tragedy, I think. Some people go through life drowning in their sin, drowning in the struggles that they have, and nobody even comes to offer them any support or any other possibility or choice. They drown on the rooftop of their houses with no rescue boats, no helicopters, because we just don't care enough to go there and tell them about Jesus. Mission is truly a matter of life and death. It's eternal life, eternal death. You may not think about faith that way. As I was telling the kids, we don't talk about faith that way for a good reason, I think. But that is what we're talking about, truly. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone, and we want others to have that same opportunity. But how is a person to believe in Jesus if they've never heard of him? And how are they to hear about him unless somebody tells them? And how is somebody to tell them unless that person is sent? When a person dies without faith in Jesus, they experience death with nothing following, no eternal life following. They experience eternal separation from God. It's not enough for us to feel badly about it. You might feel badly about that. But God calls us to do something. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have told you. And yet, most Christians, me included, have a few questions about this call to be missionaries. What gives us the right to tell someone else that whatever they believe in is wrong? What gives us the right? What gives us the right to tell someone else whether they believe in anything is wrong? Again, what gives us the right to do that? Why should we do that? There's a great book. It's called Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe. And in this book, we hear the story of Okonkwo, a tribal leader in Africa who follows the gods of his ancestors. He's happy. He is prosperous. And he is proud of his community and his tribe. Then some missionaries come into town and build a church. At first, nobody pays them any attention. They actually make fun of them. But then things start to change, and things start to fall apart. Some of Okonkwo's friends, even his son, become Christians. And his family and his tribe and his entire culture is changed because of these new beliefs and because of these Christians. And Okonkwo dies heartbroken. And that's the end of the story. So why would we do that? I read this in seminary. Why would we do this? Why would we risk destroying a tribe like Okonkwo's by telling them about Jesus? Why would we do such a thing? The reason, I think, is pretty simple. But it will expose you truly, what you truly believe about faith in Christ. If for you, Jesus is just an option among many equal religions, then I can see why sharing that message with others would be so difficult, scary, even a questionable thing to do. Who are we to say what's right or what's wrong? It's just a matter of perspective, right? I like the Nebraska Cornhuskers. You like the Iowa Hawkeyes, or you like the Iowa State Cyclones. You may not agree with my choice. In fact, you may have many good and logical reasons for arguing that I'm wrong about my devotion to the Huskers, especially during basketball season, but now football season as well, apparently. But again, it's just our opinions. And we're all allowed a difference of opinion, right? Isn't faith just the same thing? No, it's not. It's not the same thing. The reason we share the message of Jesus is because it's a matter of truth, not opinion. Not preference, but truth. The man in that opening story, he had an opinion that he would survive the flood. His opinion was wrong, and it led to his death. Having faith in a different religion, it's not just about having a different perspective or calling God by a different name. That's something else I often hear. A scripture tells us that worshiping another God rather than Jesus Christ is believing in a lie. That's what the Bible tells us. This is a passage from Psalm 115 that I think really is kind of cool and gets to it. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases, but their idols are silver and gold made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but they cannot speak, eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Okay, so he's talking about these idols that people would make at the time, out of whatever, wood, silver, or gold. They would fashion them into a human-like figurine, and then they would pray to them. And the writer of the psalm explains like how silly this is when you really think about it, and how dangerous it is to expect help from a God of your own creation. You cut down a tree and you whittle it into a figurine and then you kneel before it and pray to it for help. I mean, it couldn't stop you from cutting the tree down. It couldn't help you from whittling it out. How is it going to help you now? What help could you possibly expect? It can look like it has a mouth, but it can't talk to you. And like ears, but it can't hear you. And feet and legs, but it can't go anywhere. It's sitting there on your table. It's just a figurine that you made. It's not alive. You will end up as dead as it is because it cannot help you. It can't do anything for you. But that's the very issue the Bible brings up for why we're supposed to tell people about a living God. Jesus is alive. He not only hears our prayers, but speaks to us. Now, again, if you don't believe that God has the power to hear you and is not able to help you, then I can completely understand why you would never tell anybody about him. You don't believe he's real. You don't believe he's real. He's just an idea for you that makes you feel comfortable, maybe. Feel good about yourself. Maybe you were taught about God as a child, and it makes you feel better to imagine that something good will happen to you after you die. But that's not faith, okay? That's not trust. Believing in an idea is not faith in Jesus Christ. We believe in a living and active God, in a person, in Jesus, not in an idea that you have to learn all the rules about and read about in the Bible like a textbook. That's not it. The Bible, reading the Bible is about forming a relationship with a living God. And if you don't have a relationship with him right now, it's time to start building it. Everyone should expect to hear from God. Everybody should. He speaks through the Bible. He speaks through prayer. It's like that still small voice that maybe it's a feeling. Maybe it's just a thought that comes to you that sounds like a voice. Maybe it's through sermons or through the songs that we sing or that you hear on the radio. Maybe through other Christians in your life or just the circumstances in your life that cause you to, it's clear which way you should go. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." There are lots of different ways he speaks, but the fact is that he is alive and speaking. One of the hardest scripture passages, I think, for us to accept is from John chapter 8, verse 47. "He who belongs to God hears what God says." The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Now understand, Jesus is not blaming anybody here. Being unable to hear is not something you can really change on your own. No one can come to the Father unless he draws him to himself. So God's got a part in this. But if you are not hearing from God, if you do not know his voice, if you do not believe that he is alive, then the problem is that you just don't have this relationship with him. That's the issue. It's not that he's not talking. It's that your relationship has something that needs to grow. Perhaps you've always thought of God just as an idea rather than a living entity. But God is right here and right now wants to have that close relationship with you so that you can understand that telling other people about him is not about sharing the newest fad or a good idea, but about telling people the truth that will save them from eternal death. Now, if you don't believe that, again, of course you won't tell anyone, because honestly, you don't need to tell them. You really need to come to a living faith yourself. Stop worrying about them and focus on just what is it about God? What is it about him that makes him a living and active God? In other words, you don't need a course or a sermon on evangelism. You need a closer relationship with Jesus to make him the focus of your life. Then the Holy Spirit will lead you naturally to share God's love with people. And again, when we're sharing God's message, we don't need to tell them about this eternal death, this hell. I don't think people come to Jesus because they're afraid of hell, just like I don't think people eat because they're afraid to starve. I think people come to Jesus because they know how much he loves them, and they can see what is in store for them, this exciting future that can last forever, and the fact that we like the taste of food. That's why we eat. So give them something to look forward to, not something to be scared of. Because once you believe that God is real and active and alive, then I don't think I or anyone else will even need to tell you about how important it is. Because you'll already know, because it becomes important to you. When your child runs out into the street and a car is coming, you don't argue with them about their opinions about the reality of getting hit by a car. The truth of the car supersedes those opinions. In the same way, whether or not someone believes in Jesus or God or in hell or in heaven, that isn't really the issue. They may not believe in any of it, but that doesn't keep it from being true. And that's why we share the message, because it's true. When we believe it's true, we have to share that message. To not do so would be really horrible. Now, many of you know people in this world who don't know Jesus. And I'm not just talking about somebody somewhere in some other country that doesn't know Jesus. I bet you know a few people right in our little town that don't know about Jesus. But you figure God will take care of them. You hear that people are dying from war or famine or disease without putting their faith in Jesus, but you say to yourself, God will take care of them. And when you are in heaven one day, you will confront God and ask him why he didn't do anything to tell all these people about Jesus so that they might have lived with him forever. And he'll say, I sent you. What more could I do? So let's take the opportunities we have to share God's love now with people while we still can. Amen.